Now to another matter which has been gathering pace, and this is changes to the asylum system and the refugee system in this country. Asylum seekers who are working in Ireland may have to pay between 15 and 238 euro a week for their accommodation in IPAS centres under plans approved by a Cabinet Subcommittee on Migration this week. The measure, which is outlined in the programme for government, will require international protection applicants to contribute towards their accommodation costs. The percentage of what a person would pay will depend on their earnings, and it's expected the contribution amount will go up the more a person earns. Now, asylum seekers are allowed to work if they've applied for international protection and if they've been waiting 6 months for the first decision on the application for asylum. While the measures were first floated by Taoiseach Simon Harris during the summer, it's understood the new system could take 9 to 12 months to implement, and the plan is being brought by Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan, Minister for State for Migration Colm Brophy, who will outline to the subcommittee, and who outlined that 5,000 people who've been granted a legal right to remain in Ireland continue to live in IPAS centres. The new system will see those that do not pay for their accommodation pursued through debt collection, with citizenship denied until all costs are recouped. And earlier this year, the Taoiseach said that those that are working and who have means should be making contribution towards their board based on a means test. He said the contribution model is important for social cohesion. This separately comes in the same week that subcommittee discussed measures proposed by the Minister for Justice to reduce the time Ukrainian refugees can remain in state accommodation from 90 days to 30 days. There's been a rise in numbers coming from Ukraine since it eased travel restrictions to allow men aged 18 to 22 to go abroad. And we learned this week that 50 Ukrainians a day are claiming beneficiary for temporary protection status in this country, and it's putting real pressure on the accommodation provisions of the state. We have with me on the line to talk about these proposed changes, John Lannan, who is CEO of Durris. John, good morning to you, and thanks very much for talking to us on the programme. Now, Durris, your organisation, of course, is a human rights organisation working to promote protect the rights of refugees and migrants. What's your view on these proposed changes?
Well, these changes are quite unfair in many respects and seem almost punitive. And the reason I say that in relation to the charges for IPAS accommodation is that people living in that accommodation don't have access to the same services and supports that the rest of us do. It's also the case that a lot of the accommodation is not safe. It doesn't meet their basic needs. So if the government wants asylum seekers to contribute for their accommodation, then they need to balance things by ensuring that they have proper access to services and supports. A couple of examples. Asylum seekers do not get child benefit. They're the only group of people in this country who do not get child benefit payments. Can't avail of supports like grants for third level education. When they're in the international protection system, they can't get on the housing list. They live in remote locations. They have to pay for transport to get to and from work. And in terms of the standards in the accommodation, if we look at the HICWA inspections last year, they talked about pest infestations, overcrowding, children having to do homework on the floor. So we've got situations where people are living in warehouses, they're living in tents, and this is not what the state should be asking people to contribute to.
That is not. How do you respond then to the argument that, look, the cost, we're spending more than 1.2 billion annually on accommodation alone for other asylum seekers, for asylum seekers and international protection applicants effectively. On top of that, there are also subsistence payments and other administrative costs. Is it not fair to ask some who are working, who are here, while they're maybe processing their citizenship applications or looking for accommodation themselves, that they would contribute to some of that cost?
Well, if it's fair to ask people to pay, then it's fair to give them the basic payments and supports that the rest of us get. We've been calling in Durris, and many other organisations have been calling for proper planning around the mid to long term accommodation for everybody seeking protection here, whether they're from Ukraine or from other parts of the country. But right now, the according to the government's own website, there are 613 people who came here seeking asylum awaiting an offer of accommodation. It's also important to point out that asylum seekers face ongoing unjustified abuse and sometimes violence, like we've seen in City West and Drogheda, from people objecting to their presence. And I would you know, appeal to people not to protest outside IPAS accommodation centres. These are people's homes. These are where frightened children and families have to live. But it's also worth just talking about the 5,000 people that you mentioned who have their papers, who are still in IPAS accommodation. They want to get on with their lives. They want to be able to move out. But the problem is that local authorities will not provide them with accommodation.
They don't have it, John. Is that not the wider point? They don't have it.
There is certainly a difficulty in relation to providing for emergency accommodation or even to provide long-term housing for everybody in this country. But it's desperately unfair to blame the people who are in IPAS accommodation who cannot move out because local authorities won't provide them with emergency accommodation. What's happening in many cases that we've seen is that people who are at work, who have children in schools, are being uprooted. They're being moved to the opposite end of the country, away from where they work, away from their children are going to school. That's the types of practices that are happening now. So this needs to be addressed. There's a lot of things that need to be addressed by the government before they start charging people. They need to end homelessness to people seeking protection.
Just a final point on that, John, on that question. But if that happens, is it not evident that it's a system under pressure? Huge amounts of money being spent, shortage of accommodation. We have the Ukrainian situation now, bigger numbers coming in, 50 a day. The government are saying, look, we're running out of space. We're running out of options in relation to that. And that anyone coming into the country voluntarily seeking asylum needs to be made aware that these are the pressures on the system. And to charge a little bit of money to try and help those pressures, but also to underline to those coming here seeking asylum that this is it. This is the situation we're in. These are the terms and conditions that if you want to apply for asylum here, then that's what you'll have to live by.
People who come here to seek protection don't come after checking out what's available to them or not. They escape to wherever they can in most cases and then apply for protection.
But again, is that the case, John? They travel through several different countries to get here. So there is an element of choice.
Indeed, that's what airlines do. And there may be an element of choice for some people. It's an English-speaking country. But look, it's a place where people get to in order to seek protection. If we look at the situation with regard to people escaping from the war in Ukraine, and you mentioned the fact that the 90-day accommodation was going to be reduced to 30 days.
Maybe down to 30.
There's also a proposal to reduce and perhaps remove the accommodation recognition payment that's available to them. If that happens, that would be extremely counterproductive. That will create more problems than it aims to solve because Ukrainians can't get on the housing list. They can't avail of HAP. 30 days is not enough for them to be able to determine what their next moves are. It's not enough for them to be able to find somewhere to live. So if that goes through, we will have a situation where we have hundreds, we will have thousands of Ukrainians who will be left homeless and destitute here in the streets.
Yeah, so you're calling on the government to about face and withdraw from these proposals.
Absolutely. It's really important that they reconsider this. I don't think it has been well thought out. Most Ukrainians, like asylum seekers, want to integrate. They want to be self-sufficient. They want to get on with their lives. But these moves will do nothing to reduce the desire of people who are displaced to come to Ireland as a destination.
Okay.
And it won't do anything to help them integrate and get on with their lives either.
Okay, John, thanks for giving us your view on behalf of Doris this morning. It's John Lannan there, CEO of Doris. If you have a view on those policy proposals, what do you think? Get into